The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Ian says, Howard, it is not 6:46, it is 7:46. Actually, Ian, it's 7:48. A very good morning to you, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good morning, and I have to disagree with you both. It's 8:48.
And there you have it. And there you have it, because we wouldn't be a Jewish radio station if we didn't argue, right? If we agreed on everything.
Absolutely. And, you know, welcome to my world where I am the perpetually confused.
All right. Tell us about a Palestinian musician releasing a new version of the Beatles song.
Oh, you have to love this, Howard.
What is it?
Everybody's familiar with the song, Baby, You Can Drive My Car, right?
Of course.
And I know you and I seem to be a little bit obsessed, or maybe me a little bit more obsessed with, you know, bad drivers in this region or people driving in this region. And, you know, last week when we were talking about the tanks, you also mentioned the fact that women in Saudi were now starting to drive. So a Palestinian cellist by the name of Nassim Al-Atrash and a Syrian singer by the name of Nana Ra'ais recorded a version of the Beatles classic Baby You Can Drive My Car, but they've called it Habibi You Can Drive My Car, and they've done it to honor the Saudi Arabian decision to allow females or female citizens of the kingdom to drive beginning on June the 4th. So if you are female, if you're driving in Saudi Arabia, this one's for you, Habibi You Can Drive My Car.
That is so great. And is it doing well? Is it trending?
Apparently, it's doing very, very well, and they've used typically Middle Eastern instruments like a stringed oud and a darbuka drum. You know, I have no idea what they are, but I can imagine what they sound like, along with Western instruments. So it's a very, like, Middle Eastern, very funky, very vibey, Habibi, You Can Drive My Car.
That is absolutely fantastic.
I wonder what Ringo thinks, though, Howard, because Ringo was in the country last week.
Do you have to get permission for that? I guess so, right?
I don't know who owns. I think, you know, it was rumored that Michael Jackson owned the Beatles back catalogue. So, yeah, that's an interesting one. Who owns the rights to the Beatles song?
Yeah, interesting indeed. All right, now we need to talk about chutzpah.
I love this. I mean, I think this is absolutely hilarious. So Israelis, unfortunately, sometimes have a reputation of being, you know, very brusque, very maybe devoid of manners sometimes.
Sometimes, not always,
Very boorish. Uh-huh. We'll use that, you know, very old-fashioned term, boorish.
Right.
And there's a wrestler, his name is Lior Brooks, and he's quite keen on creating this persona that is very boorish, that is very, you know, typically full of chutzpah, you know, challenges people a lot. And he calls himself chutzpah, and he rocks this really fabulous blue and white onesie, Howard, with a big mug in David on. And he says, you know, by day he's a personal trainer / comedian, but now he's taken on this wrestling persona. And apparently what he does is he goes into the wrestling arena, and you know it's all staged, and he says he aims for the boos. He wants people to boo at him and jeer at him. So wearing his fabulous white spandex, he'll go onto the stage and he'll heckle the crowd. So he was recently in Prague. He was saying things like your president's a drunk and he's corrupt.
Oh my
and,
word.
You know, using several naughty words that we can't say on radio, of course. And he'll say, everyone here tonight can kiss his beep. And love it.
And they love it because he's chutzpah.
Because he's chutzpah and he's full of it. And he swears a bit and he says, you know, he's got two signature moves. One is his Krav Maga kick.
Right.
And the other is the chosen people elbow blow, which I want to see.
Oh, no. That sounds awful.
I've seen this used. You know, if you want to get onto a bus here or a train here, you use your elbows.
Oh, okay. So it's that elbow. Right.
So apparently his technique is he puts on his kippah, he says the shema, And then he goes on with his chosen people, elbow blow. And he loves it when the crowd say, you know, maybe he can leave in the word that we, of course, are not allowed to say. And he flips them the bird. And apparently he just loves it. The crowd love him. And he says he's not here to be a crowd pleaser. But evidently he is
And he is pleasing the crowd.
Love him in Europe.
That is amazing. Really, really funny story. We've been following very, very closely the story of the trapped boys in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And I have started to see reports that I'd like to discuss a little bit with you, that they are using Israeli tech to try and save them. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Before I go on to that, moving away from the more light-hearted stories, but sadly news in this morning that a Navy SEAL who was part of rescue efforts has drowned. He was delivering oxygen tanks to the trapped boys, and he himself ran out of oxygen and was found unconscious. And by the time he reached the hospital, he was pronounced dead, but rescue efforts continue for these boys who are trapped in a cave. And Israel has joined in rescue efforts and are using a mobile communications technology, an emergency mobile communications technology developed by an Israeli company called MaxTech Networks. And rescue teams are using this to try and communicate with the boys and to try and get them out. And the problem is that the initial rescue attempts have been hampered by rising waters and also by the lack of communication. So hopefully MaxTech can help sort out the communication issues. And Uzi Hanuni, who is the CEO of MaxTech, says he was first approached by the Thai Navy shortly after the boys went missing. And he says, from that point, everything was clear to us. We knew that we would do whatever we have to do to save these boys. And he got on a plane with a software engineer, Yuval Zalmanov, and 17 of the company's emergency max mesh radio units to help train first responders how to use the technology. And now it has been deployed, and we really, really hope it'll be a successful rescue and they'll be able to get the boys out.
Has Israel, aside from technology, has Israel sent any personnel to try and assist?
Well, they haven't mentioned anything about personnel. We've just heard that Israel has joined the rescue effort. So I'm assuming we have sent possibly from our elite search and rescue units or from our Israel Aid or Zakah units. You know, sometimes we send our efforts after the fact to help with the psychological and trauma impact on these kind of horrendous incidents. We have heard from one of the miners. If you recall, several years ago there were miners that were trapped who have said to who sent a message via rescue personnel to the boy saying it's okay to be scared, but you know, hang in there. But back to this technology. We know that Zalmanov, who is the software engineer, is embedded with a rescue team, which is made up of Thai special forces and experts from the UK, China, Australia, and the US. And apparently it took 10 years to develop this technology. And one of the challenges they face in these particular kind of rescues is the ability to coordinate the teams and to know at all times where they are. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the U.S. has lost a Navy SEAL because he ran out of oxygen. And because these caves are very, very long and you can't easily send messengers back and forwards through them, divers need to be in constant contact with their base command so that people know where they are. And it's not just about the rescue. It's also about keeping the rescuers alive. So all our thoughts and prayers are with them.
Just to correct you, Rolina, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a Thai SEAL, not a U.S. Navy SEAL, who passed away. who
okay,
who
those just are just like Navy SEAL.
Right, yeah, no, it is, as far as I understand, but we can verify that. The other terrible thing that that I discovered this morning, which I wasn't aware of, is that most of these boys don't even know how to swim. So it's not just a matter of teaching them to dive, but they actually don't know how to swim, which is obviously severely problematic. And I just keep wondering, you know, there's been no discussion about the fact that their coach actually took them into this type of a situation. And I guess they are waiting to save them, I guess, and to get them to safety before they start looking at those, at that aspect of it, because it is really horrific that that these boys are even in the situation in the first place.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it brings back very, very traumatic memories for all of us here who lost our kids recently, none of our kids who went on a tiul in the south during these flash floods. And you and I chatted quite at length about the fact that we know how fast those waters come in and who is responsible for taking these kids on these kind of excursions. And, you know, I pray that after they rescue, and please God, they rescue all of these kids alive and well, that there will be some kind of inquiry into this and, you know, how it is that if children who can't swim are being led into such a scenario.
Whatever happened with the inquiry? We've got 2 minutes, you know, I don't know if you've looked into it lately. What did happen with the inquiry at the school with regard to that case where these children were on a teal? They were 17 or 18 years old, there were flash floods in the area and many of them drowned. What did anything happen with that?
Well, glad you asked that question, because the school has been closed. They've closed that Mechina down because of the inquiry that is underway, and also because of the level of trauma that it caused to the kids in the Mechina. And a lot of the teachers said it was time for some soul searching. It was time for the school to close, for the program to close, to kind of take the time to let the investigation go underway, to come to some kind of conclusion, and from then they will assess whether or not they want to reopen and go forward with it.
And that's where we leave it. Rolene Marks, you have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. Stay cool. We'll stay warm. And we'll speak
can
to
we
you
do
next
a swap?
Week.
Can we do like a little bit of a temperature swap?
Yeah.
Because we are sweltering here.
Well, we can just average it out and then everybody will be happy.
There we go.
Let's do that. Have a good one.